You know, I think if we took sin as seriously as Jesus does, I think you would see revivals breaking out everywhere across America. Just everywhere.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Father, we come before you and just with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude. We praise you, we worship you. There's none like you. And so, God, I don't know every heart, but I know you do. And so, Father, I ask, would you grab a hold of our hearts right now? Just grab a hold. Don't let go. Whatever the challenges and disappointments and stresses and worries and all that's going on in this crazy world we live in, God, I pray, grab a hold of us right now. And Father, as I yield myself to you, I pray you give me divine unction that would only come from the Holy Spirit. I pray that if there is a hard heart or many hard hearts, perhaps, Lord, I pray you'd shatter all hard hearts. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord will be upon us and in us like never before. And so, God, we give this time to you as we open your word. May you receive all the glory, all the glory, all the praise. Worthy are you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that went into a grave. And worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who triumphantly on the third day conquered sin and death and ran out of that grave. God, we give you the praise. Shield us right now from the schemes and the distractions of the enemy. And may we just feast on you and your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, turn to Acts 21. Acts 21, we're looking at the conclusion of chapter 21, verses 37 through 40. And the title that we're looking at from this text is Speaking Boldly in the Midst of Persecution. Speaking boldly in the midst of persecution. Now, we want to give a definition to the word persecution. We often think of persecution, and by the way, it can be this, but we often think of some country way overseas where literally this still happens today. I don't know if you know this. There are some countries where they still nail people to crosses. Like, that actually happens. Now, that's persecution, yes. But persecution simply means this. It's really one word. It's mistreatment. Now, there's different levels. It could be someone just talking smack about you, or it could be being nailed to a cross and everywhere in between. But we're going to learn today what it looks like to speak boldly in the midst of persecution. Matter of fact, speaking of boldness, regarding the dire need for fearless preaching in the day of this hour, and could we amen? We need fearless preaching in the day of this hour like never before. Like, this is not the time to be asleep at the wheel spiritually. I'm not sure if there's any other quote that I've come across that would convey this thought of a fearless, bold, God-pleasing, not man-pleasing preaching. And it's by a guy by the name of Philip Brooks. And he said this. He said, courage is the indispensable requisite of any true ministry. Courage is good everywhere, but it is necessary here. If you are afraid of men and a slave to their opinion, go and do something else. Go and make shoes to fit them. But do not keep on all your life preaching sermons which shall say not what God sent you to declare, but what they hire you to say, period, end quote. And all God's people said, amen. Wow, it's good, isn't it? Matter of fact, I read a headline recently, and this was the headline. I quote the headline. This is what the headline said. I didn't write this. It said 40% of evangelicals don't even attend church. Well, let me say that again, and then just let that kind of sink in for a moment. 40%, so working close to half, of evangelicals don't even attend church. Maybe I can make an illustration that might bring this home. We all know where the Holy Spirit resides, amen? And that's at Chick-fil-A, amen? And can you imagine if 40% of Chick-fil-A workers did not attend work? What would you now call that employee? No longer employed, amen? So you got people, I mean, this is, do you ever feel like your head's gonna explode? Like, this is one of those, I think my head's gonna explode any moment. You have people that profess Christ who have total disregard for the bride he died for. I'm a Christian! Really? 40%. Have we lost our minds? The excuses are everywhere. This is how bad the excuses have got on Sunday morning. You've heard me say this again. I believe, this is my thought, I believe the greatest war goes on inside the professing believer's home on Sunday morning. I believe that that's where the fire is the hottest. And it's gotten so bad, you don't have to look for excuses. You just now make them up. And no one really cares. Church, we are living in perilous days. And this is not going to get any better while professing believers just play patty cake with Jesus. This is going to take an all-out assault, spiritually speaking, from people who really take this seriously. If you're going to come against the forces of darkness in the kingdom of hell, you better be armored up, you better be in the Word, you better be prayed up, you better be in deep fellowship with other believers that hold you accountable and sharpen you and push you towards Jesus. You better be discipling people and people discipling you. And I'm telling you that this is not going to work out real well with a bunch of people that think they're saved. The Bible's clear. There's going to be a day where Jesus is going to say, it's not that I don't know you now. I've never knew you. I've never known you. Why? Because there was not true surrender. Church, we're going to learn right now how it looks to speak boldly in the face of persecution. Here's the Bible. Here's what it says. Acts 21, 37 and following. ESV translation, it says, as Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, that's the commander, may I say something to you? And he said, do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness? 39, Paul replied, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people. And when he had given permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, come back next week to find out, amen? Because we're pausing right there. I'm going to leave you hanging intentionally. Church, this is the word of God, and all God's people said. So you remember our last time together. Prayerfully, you were here, not part of the 40%. Paul went to Jerusalem, and the haters started lying about him. That's typical. Welcome to being surrendered to Jesus. You'll be treated like him. Then these same people lost their minds, if you remember. As the city was in an uproar, out of control. People are running all over the place, running into each other. One group saying one thing, one saying another. They can't even keep their lies straight. So they decided to kill Paul. Sounds like a logical next step. And the Roman commander, if you remember, he intervened, saved Paul's life, and this is where we pick up today. And so two chunks, let's look at it together. First chunk is Acts 21, 37 through 39. So Bible open, heart open, mind open, pen, paper ready, I pray. Here's what it says. Let's go through this. Acts 21, 37, and following this, Paul was about to be brought into the barracks. So remember, these barracks, they're overlooking the temple grounds, okay? So once you get a picture, we're going to go on a journey here, a narrative. So the barracks of the commander and the army, they're overlooking the temple grounds. And he said, this is Paul, he said to the tribune, the tribune, he says, well, by the way, this is decision time, before he says anything, decision time here, decision. What will Paul say? Well, here's what he says. He asks a question. He says, may I say something to you? Now, this is interesting. Most criminals don't ask for permission to speak, right? I mean, this is a great nuance here. He's being charged as a criminal, and he goes, hey, chief, my hand's up. I don't need to go use the restroom, but can I ask you a question instead? I mean, that right there, I mean, trust me on this. When you study the Romans and you study the military, this commander's already going, who is this guy? Because no one says, hey, I got a question. Can I say something to you? Okay. And he said, it gets better. This is Paul speaking to a Roman. He says, do you know Greek? Is anyone else laughing? Like, this makes me laugh. So first is, may I say something to you? I know what my question would have been. Hey, thanks for rescuing me, but how do I get out of here? His question is, do you know Greek? Where is he going with this? This doesn't even make any sense. Oh, yes, it does. See, he's proving to the Roman commander that he is by no means who the people are accusing him of. Just let that sit in for a minute. But once the facts get out on the table, yeah. So what happens? Well, what's the commander say? He's going to respond. Look at 38 in your Bible. He says, are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins? That literally means terrorists. They were known as dagger bearers, quick history lesson. So there was this group of Egyptians, and this is what they would do. There was about 4,000 here. Josephus gives a much bigger number, but we'll stick with the Bible. And so here we are. There's about 4,000 that were in this day. They were trying to overthrow the Romans. They had daggers, and here's what they would do. They would mingle about the crowd where there's a bunch of people and pull off these daggers, and, well, they would take care of people. They were assassins. They were terrorists. And so without all the facts, the commander's going, well, I know the mob's trying to kill Paul. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to assume, talked about this last time together, we call it a suicide. Be careful. Well, he assumes, and what happens? Well, what did Paul say, our last verse of this chunk, 39? Paul replied, see, there's a back and forth going on here, dialogue. 39, Acts 21, Paul replied, I am a Jew, which again, okay, I'm a Jew, may I speak with you? Do you know Greek? This is wild. I'm from Tarsus. That's a very important city. Just another nugget he's throwing out there. A citizen of no obscure city. I'm not a terrorist, is what he's saying. I beg you, I plead, and I implore you, permit, allow me to speak to the people again. So you have the commander's attention. He already knows. He knows. When you've asked, hey, can I speak? And do you speak Greek, commander? The commander already knows that Paul is not doing what they're claiming and accusing him of doing. And instead, pause here. I mean, just let this sink in. Paul doesn't say, release me. Paul goes, let me speak to the people who are trying to kill me. Wow. Because Paul's just not going to have a conversation. He's going to do what Paul does, and that's share the gospel. He is just like Jesus. Remember Jesus? He's coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and there they are, and they've done the heavy. He's done the heavy lifting. The disciples didn't. They were just asleep at the wheel. And he says, rise, get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. There Jesus is saying, I'm going to stare evil in the face. And here Paul is not saying, hey, call me an Uber so I can get out of here. Paul's like, I want to go speak to the people that are actually trying to kill me. Question it. Do you think that's bold? I'd say that's off the bold meter. Like the meter just broke. This is your chance, Paul. This is your chance, Paul, to potentially get released. And instead of being released, you choose to go share the gospel where the fire's the hottest, where the people lie about you and want to kill you. Wow, that's inspiring. Who do you know like that? Do you know anybody? We probably could all look on our hand and have a bunch of fingers left over, right? That's inspiring. Well, if the world, if our culture was filled with people like that, that we just live on the edge. We call it the tip of the spear. It's where the fire's the hottest spiritually. And they're just willing to do and say and be used by God regardless of the cost. This is Paul. This is exactly what he's doing. He wants to give away his life so he can give away the gospel. Well, that's a mission for all of us, amen? Just give away your life so you can give away the gospel. But there's a lot of pain in that offering, isn't there? See, Paul's using his persecution as a platform. Ever thought about that one? Ever thought about using your persecution, your mistreatment, for a platform? I made a note here. This is kind of a weird one, so bear with me. This is what I wrote. I said, both Jesus and Paul had the advantage of being physically attacked. I know you kind of go, okay, we're tracking pretty good, but we're really confused now. Think about this. And I've said this before publicly to people. I would much rather someone punch me in the face than covertly lie about me. You know why? Because if you punch me in the face, everyone knows. If you just float out lies, boy, they're covert, aren't they? They're just covert. They're covert. Write this down, key number one. Key number one. This is an important key. So key number one. So Paul had a decision to make. Am I going to speak or not? Here it is, key number one. In the midst of mistreatment, when standing for the truth of God's word, listen intently to the Holy Spirit about whether to speak or not to speak is mission critical. So again, this is, do I say something or do I not? Put yourself in this situation. Put yourself in the situation where you're Paul, but maybe in your own world, you're like, wait a minute, do I say something or do I not? Do I boldly speak for Christ or not? In the midst of mistreatment, key number one, that you're being mistreated, when standing for the truth of God's word, listening intently to the Holy Spirit about whether to speak or not to speak is mission critical. Now, here's kind of a disclaimer here. Be on your guard against the Lord told me. Probably one of the most abused thoughts in all of humanity. Well, the Lord told me. Are you sure? You sure it wasn't yourself? Are you sure it wasn't your friends or family? Are you sure it wasn't the pizza you had last night? The Lord told me. Okay, well, I hope that was the Lord. Be on your guard. Because the irony, here's the irony in this, okay? The irony is there's going to be times when you will be mistreated for following Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as He leads and you follow, He actually will ask you to do a bold thing, and at times it's to say nothing. You say, what do you mean? Well, we see that with Jesus. They're leading Him away like a lamb towards the slaughter, and it says He did not open His mouth. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying it's a blanket statement. That's why you've got to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You got to be listening to Him and blocking out all other noise. What am I going to do in this situation? I mean, that's just a good rule of thumb, right? In every situation that I and you live in, as you go to work tomorrow, you go to a family gathering, whatever you do, we should constantly be asking God, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? Very, very important. So what does the Bible say about listening to the Lord? I'm going to give you supporting verses. I'm going to read them as we typically do and pray the Holy Spirit galvanizes this key number one together. So what does the Bible say? Not what I say or you say, but what does the Bible say about listening to the Lord? 1 Samuel, write this down under key number one. 1 Samuel 3, 7 through 10. Write that down. 1 Samuel 3, 7 through 10. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So we're picking up in the middle of the narrative here. And he arose, and he went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord, not Eli, but the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, boy, this is good. Speak, Lord, for your servant does what, church? Help me. Hears. Let's say that again. Speak, Lord, for your servant does what? Hears. I mean, what a great place to be in your life. You wake up tomorrow morning prayerfully, and that's what you say. The first thing, good morning, Lord. Speak. Your servant hears you right now. What do you want from me? How can I serve you? So Samuel went and lay down in the place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant, help me, church, hears. That one practical practice right there. Like if we were to stop right here, say amen and go home, that right there, if you do that every day throughout the day, that will change your life forever. You will never be the same again. Just that one thing. Psalm 66:18 about the Lord and listening to him. If I had cherished iniquity, premeditated sin in my heart, so you cherish it, oh, I love this. This is great. It's yummy for my tummy. The Lord would not have listened. Wow. You know, I think sometimes we give ourselves a pass and we pray about something and God says no, and we just automatically put a blanket on it and go, well, it wasn't in his will. Well, that's possible, but maybe you have sin in your life. That's another option. He's not going to listen. He's just not going to listen if we have sin in our lives. Isaiah 59:1-2. 59 Isaiah 1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, amen, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But, okay, there's a disclaimer here, verse 2. But your iniquities, your premeditated sin, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not, help me, church, hear. You know, I think if we took sin as seriously as Jesus does, I think you would see revivals breaking out everywhere across America. Just everywhere. I believe this is the number one issue on why God doesn't move in power in many instances. There's just sin. There's just sin. It's roadblocking. It's stifling. God's like, I want to work in your home. I want to make a difference in your marriage. I want to make a difference with your kids. I want to make a difference in your life. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. Way too many people are coddling sin instead of crucifying it and killing it. And we're seeing a culture off the rails of students, of even young kids, just doing things that you would never have dreamt of 20 years ago. Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs, go to the wisdom literature. Proverbs 28:9. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, so that's, we're saying hearing the word of God, even as prayer is an abomination. The Hebrew word for abomination means this, it's disgusting to God. Disgusting. That's how he looks at it. It's an abomination. So when we go, you know what? I just don't want to hear this. This Bible, it's just not doing anything for me. Because it's about me, right? Me. It's not doing anything for me. This isn't fun. But when we neglect it and we war against it, we're part of the 40%. I just go, this isn't for me. I don't need to be under this. I don't need to joyfully submit to it. Here's what God's doing to your prayers. He's going, dial tone. Dial tone. He won't hear. We turn away. It's disobedience when you turn away from God's word. If you start looking at Sunday morning as spiritually optional, you are way in over your head. I mean, you're way in over your head. If you just get up and somehow you can talk yourself into some excuse on why not to sit under the word, you are way in over your head. You have no clue how deep you're in. Ephesians 4:30 says it like this, and do not grieve. It means to deeply distress the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So if it says don't do this, guess what we could deductively assume? We can do this. And again, that's where the bottleneck comes from. God wants to work in power. He wants people to be saved. I believe he wants to bring awakening and reformation and revival. And yet, it's the simplicity of why isn't he hearing? Why are my prayers hitting the ceiling? That's a good question, isn't it? One, we got to really look at the person in the mirror and begin to do some deep, deep probing, heartfelt conversations with that person in the mirror. Matter of fact, I had to do this yesterday. So, long story short, I sinned against someone by something I said. I was brought under heavy conviction. You guys ever been there? Where you're kind of like, I really, as much as I'd like to kind of ignore this, I can't. And so I immediately went to that person and said, you know what? I was wrong. And I repent from that. And my aim is to walk that way no more. Humbling, isn't it? Humbling. But when the Holy Spirit's all up in your business, don't ignore him. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Like, it's like you standing in a pit that you're already in, a hole. It's like you with a shovel and you're just like, hey, how's it going, everybody? As you dig the hole deeper. Life's grand over here as you get shorter. It's insane spiritually. But this is where we are. We live in delusional land. Bizarro world, as we often say. Crazy stuff, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19. Do not quench, strangle the Spirit. So when I sin, when you sin, we literally are taking the Holy Spirit by the throat and we're strangling him. Strangling him.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
What else does the Bible say about the Lord speaking? James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be what, church? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, that's easy to do, isn't it? Does anyone in your Bible, like right next to James 1:19, did you write like a big smiley emoji? And like put, that was easy. Did you do that? Of course not, right? I mean, how easy is it really to be quick to listen and slow to speak? Not when you're dealing with the mean monster and the enemy of self, right? It's constantly as someone else is talking, you're trying to, right? They're talking, you're like, they're talking, yeah, right? They're trying to say something and, right, because it's that enemy of self. Me, right? You, me. There it is, right? You, me. I'll show you. What's that old phrase? God gave us what? Two ears? One mouth? So easy how that gets twisted and distorted and reversed. James chapter 4, 3 through 4, about the Lord and him listening or not listening. You ask. I mean, James is coming out of the gate on this one. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on you, your passions. And then he's really kind. These next three words, verse 4. You adulterous people, in the Greek, it's emphatic. Here's what he's saying. You bunch of unfaithful people. That's what he's saying. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? The word enmity means this in the Greek, that you're going to war against God. You're going to war. Okay, God, put them up. Now, who's going to win that war? Therefore, whoever wishes, James 4:4, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Here's the sorry reality of this. You can sit in a church your entire life and be an enemy of God. I believe it happens all the time. All the time. 2 Peter chapter 1 about the Lord listening again. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as what? As they were carried along by the who? Holy Spirit. There it is. Like if you're not in the Word, if you're not under the Word, if you're not joyfully submitting to the Word, you're quenching, you're strangling the Holy Spirit. We've already seen from Scripture that you've told God, I'm okay with it, God. No, by the way, I am okay with you not hearing my prayers. We should get shirts made, right? I'm okay, God, with you not answering my prayers, hearing me. So many people, they just shake their fist at God. I'll sue you. You're a good God, and this is what you give me. You're a good God, and this is the health crisis I'm in. You're a good God, and this is the financial calamity that I'm dealing with. You're a good God. He is good. He's not good because he gives us what we want. He's good because he gave us Jesus. That's why he's good. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes, intellectual, yes, emotional response, surrender of the will, whoever believes in him will not be destroyed, but will have everlasting life. That's a good, good God. Amen. And I wonder, as I look at that verse in front of me, 2 Peter 1:21, this just kind of hit me. Would people look at me and would they look at you and would they say, wow, that person is carried along by the Holy Spirit? Is that what they would say? I pray they would. I pray that for all of us. They could look at us, and we're all at different levels, and prayerfully, it's sanctification, ongoing change, becoming more like Christ as we're growing in him and his word, becoming mature in him. But I pray they could look at you and me and go, that person, they're being carried along. I mean, carried along, right? Carried. This isn't like you're carrying yourself. This is the Holy Spirit picking you and me up, if you will, and carrying us along to go do his will for the fame and the renown of his name. But a lot of humility has to be in there, doesn't it, if you're going to be carried? Lastly, Matthew. I'll give you this chunk, Matthew, and then we'll go into the last section. Matthew chapter 13. So here it is, Matthew 13 under key one. Matthew 13, 20 through 22. Write that down. Matthew 13, 20 through 22. As for what was sown on the rocky ground. So this is the four soils. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So all sounds good on the front end, right? All sounds good. Yet, 21, he has no root. So this is key. Where do you get your root from? You get the root from the word. It's the word that gives you a root. You're rooted, you're anchored, you're tethered, you're welded deeply into the bedrock. What's he say? Well, powerful. Has no root in himself, but endures for a while. However, when tribulation, challenges, persecution, mistreatment arise on the account of the what? The word. Wait a minute, Jesus, are you telling me that if we proclaim this, as I hold this Bible up and we go live this, that we're going to face tribulation and mistreatment? Is that what you're telling me, Jesus? You better believe it. Because it's the truth that can set people free. And Satan's going to do everything he can to keep people out of the truth. Amen? So what happens? Well, on account of the word, immediately. So he immediately, the person received it with joy. And now immediately falls away. Boy, what happened, right? I mean, what happened? This is great. I love this. I love Jesus. Let's do the deal. Let's get baptized and whatever needs to happen here. But wait a minute. Tribulation, I don't like that. Persecution, they're lying about me. They're gossiping about me because of the word. Wait a minute. I'm out of here. Gone. Poof.
Boon.
So what happens? Well, 22, as for what was sown among the thorns. Okay, we had rocky ground hearers. Now we have thorny ground hearers. This is the one who hears the, what church, help me, word. Got a theme going here. Uh-oh. But what happens to this individual? This is Sunday morning's the new Saturday is what this is, right? But the cares of the world, oh, I'm busy, 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 busy. Being under Satan's yoke, busy. Busy. I'm busy. I'm not too busy to go to work. I'm not too busy to go to the family reunion. I'm not too busy to go to do my hobbies. I'm not too busy to go to sleep. I'm not too busy to get chocolate chip cookies, but I'm too busy to go listen to the Word of God. I call that misaligned priorities, which spiritually are just reaping and wreaking devastation in lives, marriages, kids, grandkids, homes, you name it. I think right now, this would be my thought, I believe Satan probably has no idea, as he's laughing all the way to the spiritual bank, about the ROI, the return on his investment that he's now reaping by making Sunday morning the new Saturday. I bet he's probably going, I had no idea it would yield this return. This is amazing. I just get everybody distracted making excuses because when they're not under this, they won't walk in obedience. And when they don't walk in obedience, God is not hearing their prayers. And now we have a colossal disaster on our hands. So what happens? Well, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Choke it. It strangles the word and it proves to be unfruitful or rotten. Scott Hubbard said it like this. Listen closely to this quote. Scott Hubbard. How many of our excuses for sin would wither and die if we remembered the holy guest in our souls? Yes, take heed of little sins, for every sin, if given entertainment, will seek to destroy the capital S's spirit's work, period. Take heed of gossip and borderline shows, period. Take heed of greed and second glances, period. Take heed of bitterness and snap judgments, period. Take heed as you would of a thief at your door, period, end quote. Wow. I was in my lawn the other day. And with the warmer weather, I noticed there's a bunch of weeds growing. And as I'm trying to get rid of these weeds, it dawned on me this thought. And you guys have probably already thought this, so just go with me on this. I'm probably late to the game. But it dawned on me when I asked myself this question, and I'll ask you the same question. How much work do I have to do to grow weeds in my yard? Like, do you guys ever get up on a Saturday and go, hey, honey, where are you going? I'm gonna go grow some weeds. Like, how much work do I have to do to grow weeds? Do you have to grow weeds in your yard? Can we say not much? Would we agree? What do you think I'm gonna ask next? How much work, as I'm praying for the rapture, as I stand in that yard, trying to get rid of those weeds, do I exert? Boy, a bunch. Church, spiritually, it's the same thing. If you and I are on our guard, these weeds, man, they'll just start growing everywhere. You won't even see them. Why? Because you know what I noticed when I was out in my yard? There's actually some weeds that look like grass. But they're weeds. They're killing the grass. And there's people today that profess Christ. They're not on their guard. They're not in the Word. They're not in prayer. They're strangling the Holy Spirit. They're making excuses. They're not being bold. And what happens is there's weeds taking over their families. And then everyone shrugs their shoulders going, I don't know. If you're going to kill your spiritual weeds, you can't be in cruise control spiritually. You hear me say this all the time, and I'm just going to keep saying it. There's always an excuse not to be here on Sunday, 100% of the time. Paper cut, 3 drops of rain, 5 snowflakes, tired. Just make up whatever you want. And what you're doing unwittingly as you're out from under this is you're shaking your fist at God and you're quenching the pipeline to Him hearing you. It's sobering, but in this dark hour, it must be said. So lastly, let me give you the last verse and a key too. So lastly, here it is. Acts 21, verse 40. Here's the commander's response to Paul. So Paul had a decision to make. Do I speak, yes or no? Is the Lord going to hear me in this? And now, here's the commander's response to Paul. Verse 40, Acts 21, ESV. And when he had given him permission, that's the Roman commander, okay, what happened? Well, he's allowing him to speak. He bound him with 2 chains last time together. Now he's giving him permission to speak because he sees the truth. He's got the facts, all the lies and the accusations. He sees through them. He's discerning. I don't think he's a believer necessarily, doesn't say, but he's discerning enough to go, this guy's being lied about. So Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hands to the people. These are the very people that are trying to kill him. He's motioning. Come here. And when there was a great hush, so pause for a moment. Last time together, there was a screaming riot and uproar by these people, just screaming nonsense. And now, here's what happens. When the man, the woman is filled with the Holy Spirit, when even the man, the woman stands in the lion's den, stands there on the cusp, and there Paul is as these people are trying to kill him, and all he has to do is go, hush! That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a great hush. He addressed them how? In the Hebrew language. Make a note of this. In the New Testament, when it says Hebrew, it's actually Aramaic. So make a note of that in the New Testament, okay? Subtle thought. Paul speaks to them in their native tongue. He's building a bridge. That's what he's doing. And that's why key number 2 says it like this, our final key. In the midst of mistreatment, when standing for the truth of God's word, when the Holy Spirit leads you to speak, it's mission critical to discern now what he desires for you to say. So it's one thing to go, okay, I know the Holy Spirit wants me to speak. Okay, I think there's a two-parter to this. We're two-parters. What does he want me exactly to say? Well, again, be on your guard about the Lord told me. Make sure it's 100% the Holy Spirit, not ourselves. Church, I and you will fall into this trap. I and you will fall into this trap. Our own feelings will betray us at times. Oh, yeah, it will. Be careful. Make sure it's just not your friends telling you, your family, or the sushi, right? Be careful. I made this note as I begin to read some scriptures, but I made this note first. Here's what I wrote down. I said, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit comes from emptying ourselves. So just, again, make a mental note of this. Whatever you've learned in the world, not evil, but just world, business world, whatever, all good, praise the Lord. But you got to remember, everything is backwards in the spiritual realm. So the way you walk in power is actually to empty yourself.
The world says the way you walk in power is to be full of yourself, right? That's the world. May you be full of yourself. Me, right? That's the world. No, Jesus goes, no, you deny yourself, you take up your cross and you follow me. You empty yourself, you die to self, you crucify yourself. The whole point I wrote here is to be truly inadequate. See, that's where God works. If we come to God going, hey, buddy, glad to have you on my team, God, versus, God, I got nothing. I got a big bag of nothing to give you, but I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. It's just not a song. It's the desperate, fervent, passionate cry of my heart. I need you. God doesn't work through people that are, I got this all figured out, because we already read they're enemies of God. He goes to war against them. It's the people that empty themselves. Because it's impossible to simultaneously be full of yourself and full of the Holy Spirit. You are either full of one or full of the other. And regrettably, there are people all over our world today, professing believers, masquerading as sheep, who are simply full of it. But the Bible says of those people that their end will correspond to their deeds. God will have the final word. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, says the Lord. So how do you know what to say? Well, here's some scriptures that I pray will encourage you in this endeavor. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Well, this guy's serious about the word, isn't he? And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. I just paused there. So I found your word, just like the people in China when they get the Bibles, and they've you know, produced some videos and these secret videos, and they get these Bibles, and they're just weeping, and the tears are flowing down their face, and they're smelling the pages, and they can't believe it. They're just like, I can't believe I have the Word. And yet, we got people all over America running around using these as door stoppers and paperweights, and it's just not doing it for me. What happens? Well, your words became to me, Jeremiah 15:16. To me, a joy, and the delight of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. John 16:13, write it down. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the what church? Truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Church, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. He's not just renting a room. He literally owns you. He possesses you. You are under his control, not the other way around. Romans 8:26-27. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, helps us in our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself, Holy Spirit, intercedes. He comes on the scene and goes, wait a minute, you don't know what to pray. Let me get in there and do some heavy lifting for you. With groanings too deep for words, and he, 27, who searches hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the what? To the will of God. What's good, isn't it? I mean, just remember, if you surrender to Jesus, you're going to be treated like Jesus. What should you do in response to that? I think Romans tells us here, Romans 12:19-21. Romans 12:19-21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Three more. James chapter 1, 5 through 8. Write this down. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you're saying, okay, what do I say? I'm in this situation. You're dealing with a crisis perhaps today. You're like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Well, here it is. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault or reproach, and it will be given to him. However, there's a caveat. 6, James 1, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like something. He's like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. 7 and 8. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he is a double-minded man, unstable in just not some of his ways, but all of his ways. Wow. Wow. This faith thing's pretty serious, isn't it? That's why 1 Peter 3:7, this is for us men, us married men, so put on your seatbelts, guys. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, here we go, so that, here's the why, your prayers may not be what, guys? Hindered. Wow, I mean, this is heavy. It's heavy lifting. This is the Bible. If you want to walk in truth, if you want to walk in true freedom, if you want to walk in a life that can be fulfilling as God fulfills your life, you got to walk in His Word. Because lastly, Matthew chapter 10 says it like this, 19 through 20. Matthew 10, 19 through 20. When, not if, they deliver you over, could be physically, could be spiritually, emotionally, gaslighting, whatever, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Why? For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That one was from Sam. Sam gave that to me this week. I said, that's perfect. I love it. Because it all goes back to the strangling of the Holy Spirit. And so many times people are going, God's not hearing me. Well, maybe it's not His will. True statement. But how often do we go, is there sin in my life? Am I walking in things that are not of the Lord? It was once said, and this was powerful, because every professing believer is going to have to deal with this thought. Once said, Judas Iscariot is proof that you can sit in a dynamic church. You can sit in a dynamic church with an amazing pastor and still become a friend of the devil if your heart is not 100% committed to Christ. This was once said. Judas Iscariot is proof that you can sit in a dynamic church with an amazing pastor, Jesus, and still become a friend of the devil if your heart is not 100% committed to Christ. Father, we come before you today, and we live in a culture that fears man more than it fears you. And yet, God, I pray we also learn from your word today that sometimes the bold thing to do is to not to say anything. But sometimes the bold thing to do is to say something, to say the thing. And this is where it gets a little tricky, Lord. We're going to confess in our bodies of death that we live in. But yet I think it's pretty clear. Just in every decision, do I say something? Do I not? Lord, what do you want me to do? Make it clear. Lord, what should I say if you lead me to say something? Again, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, I pray that we would be a committed people that would guard Sunday mornings with our life. May we not play around with you. May we not play around with the church, the bride. May we not play around with sin. But may we be people that are committed. Committed to your word. In love with your word. We found your words, God, and we ate them. And now they are the joy and the delight of our hearts. Oh, Father, I pray, move in power in this time. May you be glorified. May you be praised. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.